episode 31. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Happy Good Friday. Praise Jesus. Thank you for your ultimate sacrifice. So let's get into some prayer. Bring glory to our King. Dear Lord Jesus God, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made, Lord, sending your son Jesus down to die on that cross. Lord, today I pray, Lord, that we would just acknowledge the power of your sacrifice, God. Lord, I pray that we would remember that it is by your blood and your blood alone, Lord, that we are saved. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you had a heart that was so loving to us, God, that you would endure pain you never deserved. You would take on sin which you never felt. And Lord, that your blood was shed for all of us, all of your children, the lost sheep, Lord God, that you leave the 99 to come find the one, Lord Jesus. So Lord, I pray the one who is listening tonight, God, would feel your power, Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit would fill us in this moment and fill those that are listening, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, I just pray you just give us the words to speak, Lord. Bring us the truth, the knowledge, and the wisdom, God, to bring glory to your name on this beautiful day. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. All right, so right now we back in the stew, back in the studio with it. Yes, sir. On some little foamed up, you know, Good Friday action. It's only right that we back on Good Friday. That's it, bro. So, yeah, tonight we're just going to talk about, I guess, Good Friday. Which is crazy. I mean, even saying Good Friday, like, I guess it's the greatest Friday ever in history. You know what I'm saying? Because without what happened on this day when Jesus was crucified, like, we wouldn't be here right now. It's only through God sending Jesus, the Son of Man, to break his body, to shed his blood, that saves us today, you know? And that's really what happened. He was nailed up on that cross undeservingly, a perfect man, 100% God, 100% man, who went up on that cross, and for the first time he felt sin. He had never sinned before. He had been tempted many times. He was persecuted. He was mocked. He was just, shame was thrown at him constantly his whole walk on this earth, but never once did he lose faith. Never once did he act in his own will, but it was constantly walking in the power of God, you know, trying to please his Father. And that's our mission today as followers of Christ. You know, it's thy will be done. It's simply what God wants for us. That's how we move. Where the Holy Spirit takes us, that's where we go. And we're never going to be perfect like Jesus was, but that's where his blood covers us, you know, where we're broken, where we're dirty and disgusting. The blood of Jesus washes over us and makes us white as snow. He cleanses us, he renews us, and he gives us a chance to keep fighting every single day, to fight the good fight, the fight of saving lives, of saving souls, of eternity. You know, right now we're in the game of salvation. We're trying to bring people to know the power of Jesus Christ so that not only them, but generations of their family can receive this beautiful gift of faith, and that faith is going to lead us to get into spend forever, all of time in heaven with our Father, you know. And that's such a special thing that, you know, God made us and he knew what we were going to walk through and what we were going to suffer. And not only that, he allowed his son, you know, think about it, if you got a son, like, he let his son come down and endure the pain that he went through. And it wasn't nothing light. It was some crazy stuff, you know. And that just, that takes me straight into, you know, the Gospels, speaking on the day when Jesus knew it was time, when it was time for him to die for us. It talks about in Matthew 26, verse 29, or let's start with 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. It's titled Gethsemane, which is a place where Jesus was with the disciples and he knew what was about to go down, and so what did he do? He needed to get away. He needed to be with his Father for a minute. So I'm just going to read what happened. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So Jesus knew exactly what was about to happen. He knew what was going down. And, you know, in that time of just being so overwhelmed, I'm sure he was fearful, you know. He knew he was dying, and he needed to go talk to the only one who could bring him comfort, the only one who could save him, right? And that's God, his Father. And so what did he do? He fell straight to his face, hands and knees, face in the dirt, and just was simply like, "God, you know, I don't know about this, but it's thy will be done, you know, thy will be done." And he gets back up. Guess what? He got his knees one more time just to confirm, you know what I'm saying? Confirm with the Father, "Thy will be done." And then third time, boom, "Thy will be done." And, you know, I guess we could relate this to our lives, you know, if you want to, if this text isn't hitting you in the heart. It's like when we're faced with struggles, when we're up against opposition, it's a lot of times where we should be hitting our knees and we should be bowing down because it's things that we can't handle on our own. But as humans, you know, like it says, the flesh is weak. Our spirit is willing to turn to God, but our flesh is like, you know what, maybe I can do it this time, you know. And so we don't go to the true power that God is, you know. We try to lean on our own power, and that's the opposite of what Jesus did. Jesus knew he could have probably ducked off, could have disappeared or got away from this, but he three times confirmed with God, with his Father, who he had a direct line of connection with, communication with, and said, "Look, if this is your will, let's do it." And when he received the confirmation he needed, what did he do? He said, "Let's go. Here comes my betrayer." He knew Judas was coming for him. He knew that the people were coming to take him away. And full-heartedly, he trusted in God, knew that God was going to do what God wanted to do and what God saw right. And so I think, you know, we don't do that a lot. And if that's what Jesus did, I think that should be our focus. You know, as believers, we're called to walk how Jesus walked. We're called to move according to thy will, not mine be done. And so just in this time, you know, I hope conviction pours out on me and Chris and on whoever's listening, knowing that, look, if even Jesus, who was perfect, who was God, needed the comfort of his Father, the confirmation of his Father, why do we think that we don't, you know? So I'm gonna let Chris jump into his little snappage.
Here we go. Here we go. It's going to be nuts. We need to get a soundboard. That'd be legendary. I don't know. It's such a deep topic. It's like the foundation of Christianity. And literally, like today, sometimes we don't pick a topic till like noon on Friday. And like Wally texts me, he's like, "We on it?" I'm like, "Yeah, for sure." He's like, "What's the topic?" I was like, "Good Friday." So basically, you know, we can talk about a bunch of different stuff here. I think for sure, like, for one thing, definitely, like, I've said it before in a different podcast. Like, for one thing, it's like I've taken for granted how much suffering Jesus really endures. And, you know, it's like you hear it's like Jesus is crucified, right? And then so it's like instantly it's like that's the main focus of the pain and suffering of, you know, what he goes through. But it's like something we don't think about is also the fact that he's betrayed by one friend, right? He's denied by another friend. He's literally like on the cross, his own mother is watching him on the cross. So like, can you imagine being on the cross dying and your mom sitting there watching you and there's nothing that you can do about her going through that, and you're an innocent man. His own people, right? So the people who, that he's here to save are the ones who are beating him, you know, smacking against him. He has to bear his own cross. He literally carries his own cross through however far that walk is. He hangs on the cross for hours after being beaten. They give him a crown of thorns, and on top of all of it, he's mocked. Like, they're mocking him nonstop. They call him the King of the Jews, and not in a way to say that he's actually king. It's like they're mocking him by saying it. The guards, right, when he's up on the cross, they take off all of his robes, so he's hanging there actually completely naked, and they're gambling for his clothes while he's hanging on the cross, right? And this is God, literally the creator of everything, that they're doing this to, right? And I don't know, so it's like it goes so much deeper than just, you know, Jesus, he got crucified, right? Many a man have been crucified, but his crucifixion was like to a whole nother level of like how much pain and suffering he actually went through. And it was all just for us, because he's an innocent man, right? And it's like something that you'll read in scripture too, is right, like on top of all of it, God forsakes him because he's covered in our sin. He becomes clothed in our sin. And God is perfect, holy, righteous, right? God the Father, because Jesus is God. God the Father turns his face from him, right? Like he can't bear to look at him, right, when he's covered in all of this sin, right? Because that's what Jesus says. He says, God, why have you forsaken me, as he's hanging on that cross? So God, Jesus, right, literally feels completely alone as well at this time. He's been separated from everything. You know, it's in like, I've heard it said, it's the, as far as storytelling goes, right, like most narratives, right, that's what they follow, is like an unjust happens to somebody who doesn't deserve it, right? And so the crucifixion is the worst possible thing that could happen to the person who would least ever deserve it. It's the most extreme to all levels, right? And that's really what we'll go into a lot today, is we won't focus so much on the resurrection, but really just, I think, the pain that Jesus goes through, right? Because it's next level. And I really think, I don't know, for me, I want to read a lot of scripture about it, because it's going to be the best way to really get into it. One thing I'd like to say too, right, is John Piper, like in one of his sermons, he says, like, he'll ask kids, like, he's a teacher, or not literally like a school teacher, but like in Christianity, right, like his thing is he's a teacher. And he says, like, when he's working with these kids, right, he'll always ask them, it'd be like, you know, whose fault was it that Jesus died on the cross? And then people, like, the kids will always say, like, you know, like, it was for us, right? Like, we were the reason he died on the cross. You know, some people will say, oh, it was the Jews. Maybe it was Pontius Pilate, right? And then he says it wasn't. The person who was responsible, the person who's solely responsible, is God, right? And it says it right here in John, right, that Pontius Pilate, he tells Jesus, he says, you will not speak to me. So Jesus, right, he's questioning Jesus, right, and Jesus stops answering him. He says, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above, right? And so in all reality, it's God's will. God's will was for Jesus to die for us, the sinner. And something I was going to say and I completely forgot. It's late tonight. It's midnight now. Been fasted all day. Dumb tired. Praise God. That's it. But there's definitely a lot of stuff that we're about to go into. And I don't know. I think it's, like, just, I mean, throughout the day, basically, just praying and everything like that, it was, I don't know, it's like, one thing I've always done is, like, separated Jesus from God the Father, right, and, like, kind of seen it, like, in a different light, you know, like, Jesus is God, right, but because in the Bible, it always says, like, there's an order to it, right, and that the order goes God the head, then Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And so, like, I've always seen Jesus in, like, a different light, basically. But it's, that's not the purpose of that, right? Like, the way it's been explained to me is that it's, like, the, having an order in the household, right? Like, the order in the household goes, right, the man is the leader, then the woman, and then, like, the children, right? And it's not to say that one is more or less. It's just to say that there has to be an order in things. And, like, another one is the military, right? There's an order. And it's not to say that one human life is above another one. It's just to say that this is the order of things, right? And I always looked at it differently, right, when it talks about God the head and Jesus and then the Holy Spirit, you know, as if, like, one is less or more. And that's not the case at all, that they all sit at the same level. And so that being said, it's like God literally came from heaven, humbled himself into the form of a man. And then I really have been meditating on that all day, like the idea that it's literally God, the thing that created me, that's sitting on that cross, right, that's being beaten down, that, you know, it's like in one of the worship songs I've listened to is like God had like all the angels at his hand. Like at any moment, God could have hopped off the cross and just right, and it would have been righteous, right? It would have been completely a fine action to have, right? That he could have just jumped off the cross, had these angels come in, you know, kill everyone around him. He had the sovereign power to do that, but he humbly and obediently just sits on the cross, right? Suffering for hours, you know, going through all of that pain and all of that torture and not fighting back at all, taking it because he knows that this is what has to happen in order for us to get into heaven, which is just, I don't know, something I've been thinking about today.
Yeah, and that's the craziest thing too. Like, I like how you brought that up. Like, he could have easily, you know what I'm saying? He could have easily got off that cross. He could have easily just kind of put himself on do not disturb airplane mode and not felt the pain, you know what I mean? Because he's God, he has all the power to do that. And that's what they were mocking him with, you know. The soldiers were like, oh, if you're really God, you know what I'm saying, like, get off the cross, you know. And even the other two dudes that were getting crucified with him, the one dude was like, oh, if this is really God, you know what I'm saying, like, then do something, make a move, you know. And that's where the next criminal was like, dude, don't you see who this is? This is God. This is the living God, the Son of Man, and you're mocking him? You know, and just by him saying that, Jesus said, I'll see you in paradise, my son, you know? And that's the faith that we got to have. We got to believe, you know, that it was intentional. Jesus' heart was in the place of, I want to please my Father, and if this is what it takes, even for me to feel separated from my Father, then that's what I'm going to do because I love you all so much. You know, think about it. Every moment that Jesus has been from the beginning of time, from the moment of creation, when God made this world, and even before, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit have constantly been connected, all in one, you know? They've been that braided cord, that bracelet, you know what I'm saying? They've been braided together, locked in. And in this moment, when Jesus had taken on that sin, like Chris was saying, like, God couldn't be there, you know? God couldn't look at himself basically being sinful. And so for the first time ever, Jesus was not with God, you know, and he's always been with God. And so in that moment, think about forget the physical pain, you know, because physical pain is one thing. You can identify where that pain is at. When Jesus had those nails driven through his wrists and his feet, he understood that, okay, I'm feeling pain because they're driving these stakes through my wrists and my feet. When they were whipping him and they were throwing like vinegar on him and all this crazy stuff, like, he knew where that pain was. But the absence of God, his Father, the absence of something that's always been with him and always will be with him, that was a pain that we will never understand and we will never feel. You know, we could say like we sin all the time and you know, when we sin, we're basically turning away from God. We're distancing ourselves from God. You know, but through all that, because of what Jesus did, God never leaves us. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of our darkest time, God is right there with us. He is his right hand placed on our shoulder, and he is guiding us. He's protecting us. He's fighting off demons for us. He's fighting off darkness for us because we've been saved. You know, we've been renewed and redeemed because of Jesus. But in that moment, just imagine the pain, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's say like you got a parent that passed away, or maybe you're an orphan, maybe you're adopted, you know, you don't know your actual parents or your family. Like, that's a pain, like, that's so deep, you know, and no one can take that away from you. but you're just getting a minuscule amount of understanding of what Jesus was feeling, you know? Like, think about, for God to be in pain, that is something different, you know? That is something crazy. And, you know, I can say to you, I sin every day, and I do it so much, it doesn't always even register that I'm sinning. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm so numb to it. I'm so used to sin that it's like sometimes I'll overlook what it was for Jesus, the perfect man, the perfect God, you know, to feel sin. I'll overlook that and just be like, well, I appreciate that you did that, Jesus, so that I can live forever. I can receive salvation even though I'm imperfect and I'm broken. You know, like Jesus experienced real torture on that day, on this day, Good Friday, on this day. All those years ago, Jesus went through what he went through, and it's only because of that we are here, and that we are even able, me and Chris, as disgusting, broken, imperfect, like, I'm talking about maybe like a centimeter above scum of the earth, you know what I'm saying, in God's eyes, we're his sons, and we have been adopted into sonship, you know what I'm saying, but we are nothing, and it's only because of the power of Jesus that we get to do this, that we get to speak on his word, and that we get to come before you guys and just try to pour out our hearts for Jesus, you know? And just in the hopes that you will open your heart and your mind and receive this gift truly and full-heartedly, you know, that this will mean something, that this will affect your salvation, that you will understand what Jesus did, and just not know that it wasn't for the perfect person, it wasn't for the lifelong churchgoer, it wasn't for anyone specific, it was for all of us. All of his children. And we got to believe that. And as followers of Christ, you know, we got to lead by that example, you know, that Jesus didn't just die for the person who clocks in at church on Sunday, or who be hanging out at the church, or who spent, you know what I'm saying? It's everybody. It's every single person on this earth. And that's the coolest thing I heard this week. It was a pastor, his name's Jonathan Pacluda, and he was talking about, I think that's what he says last name, but whatever. He's fired, bro, and he had a really bold statement. And I was just talking to Chris about it, and it hit my heart in a special way. Because he was basically saying, like, it's great that we all as believers have those family members or those friends or whoever we're praying for that we want them to receive salvation, that we want them to know Jesus, so that while they're on this earth, they can feel the love, they can feel the protection and the comfort that we receive every single day. But as followers of Christ who are called to be bold, called to be confident and walk in the freedom, our prayers need to be bigger than that one or two people. You know, our prayers need to be that if God the Father, if God the creator of this earth, who created each and every single one of you, could make us, don't you think he could save us? You know, don't we think he could save this world, even though this world is so dark and it's so evil? And a lot of us, myself included, we are evil. And we are born sinners. Don't you think that he could save each and every single soul on this earth? And so as believers, I want to challenge us to be praying that this week, you know, believing that as we enter Easter weekend, you know, the resurrection day, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, don't we believe that he died for every single person on this earth? Don't we believe that it wasn't a qualification? It wasn't someone who's doing a lot of good deeds or someone who's super faithful. It is for every single person, no matter where they're at. And the only way that those people can really come to know Jesus is if we're praying bold prayers like that. We're believing in a bold way, you know, because if you're not believing in a God that powerful, you might as well, you know what I'm saying, get out of here. Might as well go rock it out with Satan, because I believe in a big God. I believe in a powerful God, and I believe that God can and will save every single person on this earth. And he doesn't need us, but I'm sure it's very pleasing to him to see his sons and daughters who care so much about the people that they don't even know, that they're like, you know what, forget my mom, forget my cousin, my uncle. Like, I want them to be saved, but I also want so many more. I want the whole world to be saved. And that was just a little something that touched my heart this week. And yeah, run it up, Chris.
Bro, I'm so tired today.
Read that blood part.
Breathe the blood part.
That'll bring you a little bit of
All right. I think it was 24. Was it Mark?
No, it was Luke. 20.
Oh, it was that's right. We did. It was the last one we were looking for.
22:44.
Hold on. All right. This is Luke 22:39 through 46. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And there's even another one too where it talks about the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. It's like one of my favorite. Like, I always say that to myself when I'm fasting. Is it really? Dude, I'm out of it. that just proved it, actually. Yeah. That's, dude, I say that to myself all the time when I'm fasting. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Because it's just so fire and so true. I don't know. That's, I think that shows the, you know, Jesus is 100% human and 100% God. And so at the same respect that it's like, you know, it's easy. Right when you, it's, dude, it's so easy to meditate and really get deep into this stuff. But it's like, when I look at him as a 100% God, it like brings so much, like, I don't know, like emphasis on the stuff, right? That it makes it so much more, like, I feel the love so much deeper, right? But then like looking at him as 100% man, it brings me so much closer to him that he can actually understand pain. He understands pain and suffering, right? Like, he understands completely, right? Especially because he knows, right? He knows exactly what he's walking into. He knows everything that's about to happen. So it talks about the agony that he's in as he's praying, right? That he says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." It just shows that he's genuinely, he's terrified about what he's about to walk into. You know, it's like something else in, it's in John, right? Like the, or no, it's Hebrews. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews is by Peter, and Peter talks a lot about how Jesus is a high priest who can understand us because he had all the temptations that we had as people. And so that he completely understands although completely perfect and never falling for those temptations, he knows exactly the amount of struggle that it is to be a human on this earth, right? Because we are constantly being attacked, and obviously we're a lot weaker than the Son of God is, you know? And so that we have a good high priest because he does understand all of our pain. And this is like a good, this whole thing, right? Like, his whole crucifixion is a complete, you know, representation of that, that he, at the end of the day, right? Yeah, he's God, and yeah, he could have removed this, like, if he really wanted to, right? Like, his prayer could have been, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me," right? And not added, right? "Not your will, but not my will, but yours be done," right? And then maybe the cup would have been taken from him. Maybe we wouldn't have been saved, and maybe right now we are all condemned to hell. There's no way out, you know, but that's not what he says. He says, "God, I want your will. Like, I just want your will, you know. Don't save me. If this is the only way that these people can be saved, don't take it from me," right? I really love these people and I really want them to be saved, you know, but it's a terrifying experience for all the reasons that we talk about, right? And I kind of want to talk about Judas a little bit because I feel like it's super easy to look at Judas and be like, you know, how'd you do that? But I heard this girl in one of my Bible studies, she said, you know, the way that she had been explained it is like, you could think about Judas, right, in a human perspective of like, he knows it's the Son of God, and in his mind, he might have justified it by saying he'll just save himself, right? Like, he's not really going to get crucified. It's going to be okay. I'm going to get some money out of this, right? And then it comes down to it, right? And he's really up on the cross, and that's when he's like, I've handed over innocent blood, like it really took place, and it was all because I was greedy over some money. And that's when he goes and he kills himself, right? Like, he can't take it. He goes completely insane, right? Hangs himself, yeah. You know, and I mean, I could go and to mourn a Judas, but I don't really, I won't do that today. Yeah. But it's I mean, and then Peter too, right? Is like, you know, he's afraid. He's watching like Jesus, right? Going through all this stuff. He's been very close with Jesus. People obviously recognize him, and he's afraid that maybe the same thing could happen to him, right? And so then Peter's sitting there in his, you know, the flesh is weak. He's in his, he's flesh, right? He's in his human form, and he's afraid, right? That if he doesn't say, if he says, yeah, oh yeah, I'm his disciple, right? What could happen? You know, and it's easy to also look at Peter and be like, oh, I would never do that, right? Like, it's Jesus. I'd be like, yeah, that's my dog, right? Probably, yeah, yeah. I can't honestly say that. Like, I don't know how I would have reacted in those situations, right? And thank God that Judas did betray him, right? And thank God that Peter did deny him, that the prophecies were fulfilled. Because without those two situations, right, the crucifixion isn't what it is, right? The suffering isn't fully to what it is, right? He's literally bearing the sin of somebody who's done evil their whole life, right? And that's part of that sin, right? Is being betrayed and being denied, you know? And so it's almost a good thing, right? Good Friday, right? Full circle. There it is, right? It's a good thing, right? That's what took place, you know? Thank God for those disciples who, you know, kind of lost their way a little bit, I guess, is like we all do. And I mean, it's super cool too, I think, watching the forgiveness that Peter receives. One other thing, just that, I don't know, I'm reading through like all of the end of the Gospels, and it's like, it's a lot, you know what I mean? It's pretty heavy. But, it's Matthew, actually. Dude, Matthew is so long. Alright, it's Matthew 27:51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. And so people who were literally like moments before gambling for Jesus's clothing, right, they're instantly, right, like they're like, this is the Son of God, right? Because, you know, it's earth-shattering, right? Like, the actual death of Jesus is like earth shattering, like earthquakes and tombs are opening up, and right, they just fall to their knees in awe of God. And I was just, I don't know, I think of that as like, it's so interesting, right? But and then bam, just like that, they're saved, right? Like as soon as that happened, right? Because now beforehand, right, they don't actually believe that this is the Son of God. They think it's just some random Jew, right? Like it's not a big deal to them. And then as soon as that happens, right, they're like, oh, it's the Son of God, right? And so they have belief in their heart and they're saved. So literally, they're persecuting God, watching him die on the cross. And then as soon as he dies, they're saved. And they're going to be in heaven for eternity, which is crazy to think about, that Jesus literally died for them, right? And that's what he says in a different scripture, right? He says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because they literally didn't. They literally, right, the Pharisees, there's evidence that the Pharisees actually believed this was the Son of God, and that's why they really wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill God, right? Like, it's one of the things that Jesus says is, like, you've killed all my prophets. For sure you're going to want to kill me, right? Because I'm even greater than the prophets, you know? And they actually had that belief, but these guards, right, they just think, like, it's another day in the life, right? Like, they're just out here taking bodies every day. That's all they do for a living, right? And then they realize, dang, it's the Son of God. So it's the person they just killed is there to save them, right? Like, I can't imagine, like, that experience, you know? I just can't imagine. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I got, it was the Roman soldiers that, or what was it, what are they called, centurions?
Yeah.
The centurions, right? That, yeah. They were the ones that, like, put him up on the cross, right? And then they were the ones that they stabbed him in the side to make sure he was.
And they were giving him sour wine. They were mocking him.
Bro, vinegar. Yeah, that's, he said, he said seven things on the cross, and one of them was like, I'm thirsty. And yeah. So they were like, okay, here you go. And they gave him the little bit of the vinegar, and that's when he said, it is done. He said, tetelestai. And that's when his head went down and he died. But it's crazy because those people, these soldiers, right, they were the ones who, like, Jesus died for the ones who killed him. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Like, he literally knows in his heart, like, these people are killing me, but I'm dying so that they can live forever. You know what I mean? And just, I had something that's about to go crazy, but a funny little side note. So, like, the first thing I read in the Bible was, like, Romans. I loved it so much that I got this Roman soldier tattooed on my hand. And that was before I had read the Gospels or anything. And then when I read the Gospels, and I read that part that these dudes, the Roman soldiers who, you know what I'm saying, killed Jesus, they were the first ones to understand who he was, who they just killed. And they were the first ones to receive salvation. And it just made this tattoo mean so much more. Yeah. It was so much better than just, I love the book of Romans. Yeah. Romans is cool. But that was just a side note. But that is so cool, bro. You know what I mean? Like, instantly, it said, like, the world went dark. You know what I mean? As soon as he died, it was like, boom. But these people who had killed him, who had mocked him, who had tortured him and beaten him, they were the first ones to receive salvation. And if that doesn't show you the character, the heart of our God, then you need to keep reading. You need to figure something out. You know what I'm saying? You got something missing. But I like how you were talking about Judas too, because if you remember, if you haven't listened to the episode with my mom, please go back and listen to it, because she said one thing that will forever stand out, and it was, if you take one piece out of a God story, it's no longer a God story, right? So as Christians, we're always like, man, if Jesus or if Judas just didn't do that, things would be better. If we even take it back to the beginning, if we say, like, if Adam didn't just eat that fruit, we would have been good right now. We would have been living in heaven with God, forever with God, you know. But it's like, this is God's plan. This is God's story. Jesus understood that when he said, thy will be done. Jesus understood that when he carried his own cross up that hill and willingly, because God told him to, hopped up there and endured that pain, you know. And it's like, look, we can't be so mad at Adam, or we can't be so mad at Judas, because we are Adam and Judas. You know what I'm saying? And if we take one piece out of this Bible, it's no longer the Bible. You know, it's our idea. It's our will. It's no longer his will be done. So the next time you want to read this and you're looking at it like, man, Judas, he was tripping. He was acting like a little H-O-E. You know what I mean? Next time you do that, look at yourself in the mirror, you know, because I need to do that. I need to realize that I understand who Jesus is. I know his story. I know this Bible. I know his word, and I know the truth that he is. But still, for some reason, I'll take the 30 little pieces of silver, whatever gratification I get from committing sin. And I know what Jesus did. You know what I'm saying? I know who Jesus is. I still choose me. I still choose my will over his at times, you know? And so that's where the conviction needs to come in. It's like, Jesus has laid it out. He gave it all up. He said, tetelestai, it is done. The battle has been won. Sin no longer rules over you. You can choose salvation. You can choose me. And now I've left you my Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will save you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. But we have to be seeking that. And we have to be seeking it with the full heart. You know, every day we need to step into the day with the mentality of thy will be done, not mine. Because my will sucks, bro. My will is terrible. My brain is messed up. It's pretty fried. It's running on E. But God, through his power, the Holy Spirit, can renew me, refresh me, and refill me every single day as long as I seek that out, you know. And that's what God has called us to do. Jesus said, love me and seek me with a full heart and love your neighbor. And that is our only jobs here on this earth. You know, and once we understand this story of that is exactly what Jesus did, then this world, this dark world we live in, will start to make a lot more sense, right? Because if Jesus said to love me and seek me with a full heart, what did he do? He loved God so incredibly much that he was willing to endure that pain just because God told him to. And what else did he do? He loved his neighbors. All these people who hated him, all these people who put him up on that cross, all these people who were mocking him and you know, trying to take his clothes once he died, and who, even once he was already dead, shoved a spear through his side. For what? he still died for them because he loved them so much, and he loves you so much, and he loves me and Chris, and he loves all of us so much that he did that. And today is the day that we need to acknowledge that, and today is the day that we need to have our heart filled because of that love, you know what I mean? And we can choose it. We can choose the freedom which God gave us. We can choose to honor Jesus today, or we can choose to gratify the flesh. We can remember that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? Or we can focus on the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that Jesus left behind, and that power will deliver us. It'll free us, and it'll change this world, you know? I believe that it can and will. That's what faith is to me, is believing that God can and will in his time, because his time, his will, that's what it's about. Thy will be done, not mine. That's it.
No, yeah. I don't know. There's a part in, I have a hard time quoting scripture. I think it's Corinthians. Corinthians 1. What? What does it say? Dude, I was like, I was going to say, bro. No, I was going to say, bro, if like you read my mind, like of what I was going to say.
It is, bro. Look up one. Come on, let me look up one. Because that, bro, I don't know. People have been saying that a lot recently. Let me see what they're talking about.
Let me see, bro. We're going to Corinthians 1:6 right now. Because that'll be nuts if he did just guess it off the dome.
1 Corinthians?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians. I don't think it's 1:6. Chapter 6? Oh, bro, there's...
1:6 is like Thanksgiving.
Nah, it's,
confirm our testimony about Christ among you, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed.
Nah, that'd so, that'd have been nuts. So, something that Paul says, though, right, is, like, he doesn't want to empty out the cross by lofty speech. And so, I don't know, that's something that I'm trying not to do by having some crazy things to say, because I don't know, I can definitely get into that, getting super deep and stuff. I think there is like a certain amount of just, I don't know, it's, I would encourage you, if you're listening, just to have your own alone time reading through the Gospels, where it talks about everything that Jesus goes through, each one individually, and then really meditating on it, because that is truly God's word, right? Today, like, I was praying at work, and literally I could like feel the sun. My prayer throughout the day was really just, God, let me know what the fear of God feels like, right? And really what I was wanting was to understand like God's power, to understand how big he is, right? And it's weird, like I can close my eyes, I could just see this like God on this throne that's just like so beyond me and stuff. And I was sitting there at work out in the sun praying, and I could feel the sun, like the heat hitting me, and the wind was blowing against me, and I was in my prayer just meditating like, God, you're right now deciding that this sun shines on me and that the warmth touches me, and you're pushing this wind right now, and you have control over this wind, and right, like, God, you're so holy and so above me, right? And you know, I went to I was in London this past week, and little flex piece, we out here in London with it, but I mean, it really just showed me, like, I don't know, like, us Americans, right, we feel like we're real special and stuff, and it humbled me to just be like, I'm just a little small tiny person piece in a huge thing that, right, like, the how Wally's saying, like, the main character is really God, right? Like, he's controlling the sun over there, just like he was controlling the sun over here, and the winds that blow, and the sea when the waves are too strong, and hurricanes that come, and all of that stuff, right? That's all under God's power, right? Like, he's controlling this whole world, right? As far as, that was just as far as the weather goes, I guess, really. But that's how crazy it is, right? It's like, that's just one little piece. You can go as far as like even the stars, right? The stars that are glowing, and the right, and then the, I was like driving last night, right, a shooting star, so like, I don't know, what is it, like a meteor coming, right? God decided that right there at that moment when I was driving, that should happen when I'm driving, right? Like, he's, because he's this sovereign power. Bro, what is that? That looks like nonsense. Says, we breathe in what the trees breathe out, and they breathe in what we breathe out. I'm overwhelmed by God's divine design. That's tough, right? Nature, right? Yeah. The river.
The river.
Yes, sir. Future Wally's daughter. Are you guys certain about that name?
Yeah.
Wally's daughter, dog. That's going to be River. That's fire. Little River. Just like, I don't know what part of scripture it's from. Like,
I got it, actually. My sister sent it to me. There's a river whose streams make glad to see God. Yeah, so if you've been listening, you know that quick little, you know what I'm saying? Note. Side note. you've been hearing me talk about the river a lot, you know, that Jesus is the river, you know, and, and so I don't know, I just kept saying river, it kept being on my heart, and my mom said, you know what, maybe that's what God's trying to tell you to name your sweet little daughter, you know what I'm saying, my little baby. And I said, nah, I don't think so, I got something better. But then my sister sent me this verse, and it's Psalm 46 verse 4 through 4 and 5, and it says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And that's it, bro. That's my prayer for my daughter. Amen.
Little side note. Fire, though. But all right, so for all that stuff, right, like, I'm just trying to give you the description of, like, how powerful this God is, right? And then the fact that he humbles himself into the form of man. That's the same God, right? And you can even go into old scripture where you go into that's where in Revelations, right, where it says that, you know, it talks about God basically on this throne, and it's trying to describe this all-powerful being that sits on this throne. It's so beyond, like, John can't even put it into human words, right? He's just trying to describe it in a way that maybe we can grab onto, right? And it's this God that humbles himself into the form of man, and then lets the man that he literally created, right, that he's controlling all of this stuff for, that he's, you know, feeding, that he's, right, like, every meal that I eat, if God willed it and decided that I shouldn't eat that meal, I wouldn't have eaten it, right? It's literally in the hands of God whether I eat or whether I don't, whether I drink water, whether I don't, whether I get 8 hours of sleep or whether I don't. When I get in my car today and I drive home, it's up to him whether I get in a car accident or not. Because he has that sovereign power. He can make that happen in the blink of an eye, right? And he takes the form of a man. And then what does man do, right? Everything that we're talking about, you know, we beat him down. We you know, mock him. We, you know, even like his life walking before the crucifixion isn't really glorious at all. You know, those 3 years, he's constantly being persecuted. He has to run from town to town. He's sleeping on the floor, right? Like, he doesn't live a glorious life at all, and he's a servant. Jesus, you know, God who creates me comes down and serves me. How crazy is that? The same God who, you know, like, that's crazy. That's just crazy that he's, you know, like how the disciples are when he's washing their feet. Like, dude, like, I should be doing this for you. Like, you know, he loves you so much that he's going to serve you, right? And he does it in the greatest form when he gets on the... It was being a servant, right? And it just... I mean, it humbles me, especially because, like... I mean, man, it's like all the time, right? I'm always thinking big. Like, you know, I want to be on top or something like that. And what does the God who created me do when he comes on earth? He's not trying to be big, trying to be on top. He just wants to serve. He wants to show love to people, care for them. He's seeking after the lowest form of life. He's not going to the kings and queens, and he's not going to the high priest to, you know, make political friends with. And he's not. He's going to, like, these poor people. And, you know, that's our God, right? Like, that's crazy that's what he does, you know, and all the pain and suffering he had to go through, you know, for me, who he created in his love, right, to just, you know, go back to, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, it's like, just created us in this paradise because he loved us so much, right? Like, he just loved man. He says it's good. He creates man. He says that's good, right? And then instantly, right? Like, as soon as we can, it's right. Me and Wally were talking about before the podcast, right? Israel means to wrestle with God. We start fighting with him. So instantly, right? Like, he's got a plan to save us because he loves us so much. And it's not like I deserved it. You know, he went through all of what he went through. God, everything that God went through, you know, the person who, you know, he did all of that just because he loves me so much, right? And I really, like, when I read scripture, like, it's so different. Like, I feel it in my heart in a way that I can't put it into words and explain it to you. It's like God puts it in my heart. Like, God really wants me to, like, I pray that he'll reveal it to me, and he does. Like, he I love it when he answers that request. That when I do get to read that scripture, and it's like, I almost want to cry because it's so much pain that I can relate to, you know? It's God the Father doing that to his own son. Can you imagine taking your son and just imagine, because he didn't just kill him, right? But just imagine shooting your son in the head so that everyone else can be saved, right? If you have a child and you're listening, that alone would just be almost impossible for any parent to do, right? Right, and that's what it says, right, is that rarely will a man die for somebody who's good, but for an unjust man, come on, right? It's like, all I do is, dude, literally today, like, I'm such a sinner. Like, I all day I'm fasting, I'm listening to worship music, praying, you know, reading scripture, and, like, I get in my car, that new Metro album. Have you heard that? Oh, my goodness, bro, it's so far, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I can't throw on Young Metro, bro. That song's so tough, bro. But anyway, so I was like, I can't put that on, right? Because it's sinful. Like, it's not, they're not, they don't ever say it. There's no gangster rap song where they're talking about good things ever. Maybe Rod Wave, Tupac, Rod Wave. Yeah, Rod Wave got, yeah, Ghetto Gospel. Rod Wave got a little bit, right? But rarely, right? Like, two examples out of the millions, right? And I did, I turned it on, right? And it was like, all damn in prayer and fast, and right, but then that's what he died for, was for somebody who disregards him, right? He loved me so much, I'll just push to the side real quick, right, and justify an incorrect action, you know? And it just, I don't know, blows me away, especially just, I don't know, I encourage you, if you're listening, if especially if you haven't gotten deep into that part of a gospel, right, just pick any one of them and read through it and meditate on it. Get into it. Like, Wally underlined his Bible, and I didn't do it for the longest time, and I do it now, but like, just underline it, pray about it while you're reading it. And it's like, God, like, comes to you in such a way where you're like, you truly are the Son of God. Like, that really will overwhelm you. And then that thought coupled with what he's doing on the cross, right, is just like, it's a magnificent experience. Like, wow, like, this all-powerful, almighty God loves me this much, right, that he suffered this brutally, you know? And then just putting myself even in those shoes, right? Like, I would have never done it. If God right now today was like, hey, Chris, like, I'm gonna need you to do everything that Jesus went through to save humanity, honestly, I probably couldn't have done it, you know? My weak flesh would have never gone through with it, right? But because God is so, for one, so obedient, right, he went through it. And then obviously, just because of his greatness and his glory, and he's holy, he is set apart, he is 100% set apart, you know? No human would have done that, right? But he is set apart because he is holy, and he did it for us, which is just magnificent, you know? And I don't know, that's why I started with, I don't want to, you know, take anything from the cross with lofty words, but it is like, I don't know, it's just, I'm just going on that ranting, but
you good? I'm done.
Yeah, bro, I'm gonna smoke back, man.
Amen. All right, y'all. What a beautiful message. What a beautiful Good Friday it is. So let's pray it out. You wanna pray?
Sure, I never pray.
Never pray.
Yeah. All right. Chris prayer. It's gonna be nuts. Yeah. God, thank you for this Good Friday, and thank you for what Jesus did for us on that cross so many years ago. Thank you for that saving grace that, you know, we get to experience even today. Thank you, God, for you and your presence, and the fact that you'd even come to us in all of our sin and be with us and spend that time with us. God, thank you for showing me all of your grace just in my own afflictions that you've delivered me from, and the people around me and what I've got to see happen to them as well. God, you are so holy, you are set apart, and I'm so grateful for your goodness and for your patience, you know, especially your patience, God, because there's been many a times when I've still sat in my sin and you've waited and you haven't just taken me, right, sent me to hell, which you easily could have, God, but you kept me here and you continued to show me love and you were faithful, and God, I'm so grateful for that. God, I want to pray too for anybody who's listening maybe that isn't in scripture and who's not listening, God, that you would save them, that you would bring them into the scripture and that you'd open their hearts up if their hearts are hardened and soften them so that they can truly come closer to you, God, so that they can feel your love and they can feel your presence, that they can know what the way, the truth, and the life is and truly experience you in all of your goodness. God, I pray that anyone who's listening, who's struggling with worldly things and who feels connected to them, that you would pull them away and show them how good you are and how much better you are than all of what the world has to offer. God, I thank you and I praise you. Amen.